show. Is it a sandwich? If I called a hot dog a sandwich, do you think that you'd be fine with it? If not, then why? Let's bust this wide. Mary, Carrie, Kelly, Matt, oh my, is a sandwich? Well, let's decide.
I've missed wagging about wieners, so there's no place that I'd rather be today. As we decide the topic of the ages, is a hot dog a sandwich? On order up.
Ta-da! Matt's back, everyone! Yay! Yeah. Past two episodes, it's been Carrie and myself introing. I've been having fun with the buttons.
too much fun.
There we go. Everyone, this is episode 10.
Woo!
Special long edition of this season, of season 10. The season series finale. We're going to do something different going forward. We'll tell you about it at the end of the show. The question of the hour is a hot dog a sandwich. Mary, freshly back from Scotland, has your opinion changed on is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Dramatic pause.
I did eat something. I mean, I can talk about it now. I did eat something in Scotland. Here's the thing with Scottish food, and we're fine that I said that. Scottish food in itself is a lot like my Irish upbringing. It's a lot of potatoes, a piece of protein, a really bland sauce, and that's it. Okay. But other international foods I did try while I was in Edinburgh. And I did have a chicken sandwich on a bao bun.
Oh.
And with seasonings, I would say Indian seasonings.
And sounds good.
And it was presented as a sandwich with chips, which are actually fries for my Americans, with chips. And it was presented as a sandwich, but I will tell you, I did not eat it as a sandwich because the chicken was too much for the bun.
Yeah.
So I ate the chicken by itself, had my chips, and then finished it off with the bao bun with the Indian sauce. And so that, my friends, was not a sandwich. So I
Well, that was a Build-A-Bear, is what
Jesus
that was.
So I saw a lot of things that were not sandwiches in Scotland. Go ahead. Sorry.
So I was just going to say, I have a Scottish food story from last time Heather and I went over and we visited her people's home city of Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And we were right over a Chinese restaurant. We ordered Chinese, and it was a different experience. So we're like, can we have some noodles? Because she didn't feel ricey, so we asked for noodles. And this Chinese woman, or woman of Chinese descent, she was a Scots woman because she had the thickest Glaswegian accent we've ever heard, yelled at her, rice or chips, are not noodles, you idiot.
Oh, wow.
So, which is probably the most Glaswegian experience that you could have.
I think rice or chips, there are no noodles, you idiot, should be your next Edinburgh Fringe show.
Yes.
Mary. Great title.
Possibly.
Matt or Carrie, has your opinion changed? No.
Matt, where are you, Matt? Are you a yes or a no?
I'm a yes.
You're a yes.
I'm bucking the rule of the Wiener Association of America, or hot dog, whatever it's called.
I started the season as a no.
Yeah.
And as we know, this is the first and only season that I've actually switched midstream.
Right.
And I have gone to the yes side. I'm a little anxious about it. I don't know. I think I'm going to stay where I am just to be sort of definitive, but I am a little anxious, I got to say.
Yeah. I'm playing both sides of the fence.
Oh.
Yes, and I felt pressure to say yes because of Ben, a lawyer, and I felt gross about it. So the next time I went to know it, so I'm both. Anyhow, I'm keen to hear what our guest says today. But first, Matt, what fun foodie facts do you have for us today in the wiener category?
All right. Well,
funny every time.
Anthony Bourdain, rest his soul, tried to always instill an understanding that food tells a story about a people. He once said, food is everything we are. It's an extension of nationalist feeling, ethnic feeling, your personal history, your province, your region, your tribe, your grandma. And between 1880 and 1920, waves of immigrants from southern Italy moved to Newark's First Ward, also known as Little Italy. These are working class families who carried with them traditions of family, faith, and food. And as immigrants do, when you move to a new place, you make what's available part of your food experience and put your own spin on it, which is how we got the Italian hot dog. In 1930s Newark, a local dish came out of the First Ward consisting of deep fried hot dogs or wurstel in either an Italian roll or pizza bread with a combination of fried bell peppers, onions, and potatoes created by James Buff Ratiopi. I looked it up. That says Ratiopi. That's what the internet told me to say. He is the founder of Jimmy Buff's, which, as with many great things, it's his wife who invented all the good stuff, and then he just came to glory. One day, Jimmy, who was a big card player, that's how he got his nickname. He's very passionate about it, and basically passionate in Italian, or a version of that translates into buff in English. So his wife Mary served Jimmy and all of his friends what would later be named Italian hot dogs, and it was such a hit with Jimmy's card buddies, he brought it to his family restaurant, and it became a regional favorite. 93 years later, Jimmy's family are still in the business of feeding folks, and the Italian sausage and the Italian hot dog are their two top sellers, and they will go back and forth between number one and number two.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I don't think I've ever had that. I don't spend a lot of time in New Jersey by choice. I'm in and out.
Next time I land in their airport, I might go out to find one.
Yeah, maybe.
Is really hitting a lot of my, my sweet spots.
What else?
Now, all of that was not to be confused with the A&W Italian hot dog, which is a sliced Polish sausage topped with mozzarella, Parmigiano Reggiano, and tomato sauce. That's just half-assed. That said, food never stays still. And while the Italians were reinventing the hot dog in the north, in the south, a couple of Americans rented at a concession stand in a Mexico City's bullring, figuring they could bring Mexico and the folks of Mexico City the good old hot dog. And they thought people would love it. By 1956, the hot dog had spread, and an unknown hot dog cart in Mexico City's Arcade de la Alameda began, as he would have been known locally, Adugueros, which is a hot dog vendor Mexican, Spanish. He began selling bacon-wrapped hot dogs that were topped with pico de gallo, jalapenos, onions, bell peppers, and drizzled with ketchup, yellow mustard, and mayonnaise.
Interesting.
These worked their way north into L.A., where they also became known as L.A. dogs.
Which I don't like. I do not like them, but that's
okay.
Sorry.
No worries. So at the same time, though, there in Sonora, there was a Sonoran version which also included pinto beans and chopped tomatoes, and was served on a bolillo roll as a hot dog bun. This made its way north, up through Tucson and Phoenix, and became very popular in Arizona. And by 2009, there were over 200 vendors in Tucson alone. And it's thought that there were even more vendors of this Sonoran hot dog in Phoenix.
So, wow.
Yeah. Just shows how a hot dog is a different thing to different people.
It is. And its ingredients are different things to different people. And we'll talk about that on this episode. It is episode 10 of season 10, the season finale of Order Up. Yay!
Carrie.
Yeah?
Who is our guest today?
Okay. Do you remember way back in season one, we had our very first amazing guest?
And yes.
This amazing guest has agreed to come back to be our final guest, which is so special and exciting. Now, I just want to say before I read my intro, I've never met this person in real life.
Really?
But because he's on TV so often and he's so personable and talented and wonderful, I think a lot of people in Canada feel like he's their friend. So I already feel like he's our friend, and I will tell you all about him now. So he is a Canadian sketch comedian. He's a singer. He's an actor. He's a TV host. And he is best known of the show you all know, the Food Network Canada's show, You Gotta Eat Here. And my friends, if you haven't watched it, you gotta watch it. It's not on current, like it's not being filmed anymore, but you gotta find it. It's a great show. He's won 3 Canadian Comedy Awards, which is amazing. And he also produced and hosted a really cool food show called Big Food Bucket List. Look it up. It's amazing. And when he takes a bite of food, the joy that comes out of this man's face and the clapping of his hands makes me so happy. Everybody welcome our friend, John Cattucci.
Yay! Oh, thank you. That was great. Yay. I'm clapping now. That was, thank you. That was a great intro. That made me shy. hi, everyone. How's everybody doing?
John.
Happy end of summer.
Yeah.
Oh, good summer. So good to see you. Uh-huh. I agree with what Carrie said. I have seen you in passing at shows and we've talked on Instagram Lives, but I do feel like you've been in so many homes by TV. I feel like it's like it's my buddy John. Do people come up to you on the street when they recognize you to sort of reiterate that?
Yeah, it's funny. I was at the Costco today, jealous. I finished my shopping, and then you grab a slice of pizza like normally you do. And there was this guy who just kept like staring at me, and I was just like, okay. And like, he clocked me. Okay. I'm like, okay, it happens. Right. He's like, and then he's like, are you who I think you are? I'm like, hi, I'm John. And he goes, yeah, but how do I know you? I was like, I eat things on TV. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. I'm like, go, go, get it. It happens. But other times, I remember we were in Kelowna, and we were shooting Big Food Bucket List in a restaurant in Kelowna. And we were outside on the patio having our lunch, and some guy walked by, and he looks at me, and he's like, hey. He's like, Jim. I'm like, Sean. And then he goes, Colucci. I'm like, Cattucci. And then he's like, I'm a big fan. I was like, it shows.
Yeah, that's cute. I like that.
It was close. It was close.
Before we get to the questions that Matt has for you, I'm curious, how many hot dogs did you eat on those shows? Did you go to many hot dogs?
We did a couple of hot dog restaurants. And I got to say, the restaurants are great. The hot dogs are great. I'm just not a big fan of hot dogs.
Right.
Never been a fan of hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Like when we were kids and like hot dogs were always the go-to, like when all the cousins would come over and the parents needed to feed 12 kids at one time, they'd throw in a pack of hot dogs and some boiling water and all the kids would just smash hot dogs and then we'd run outside and go play again.
Yeah.
I never liked, even when I was a kid, I would eat ketchup sandwiches.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't even eat the hot dog. Mm-hmm. We would use hot dogs in different ways. Like my dad would do like, we'd take hot dogs and then slice them up or like chop them up and then like fry it up and then scramble eggs with them.
Yes.
We eat hot dogs in the house growing up and stuff like that. Never a big fan. My aunt used to do like crescent, you know, the Pillsbury crescent rolls.
Yes. Yeah.
Slice it partially down, put like mozzarella on the inside, wrap the hot dog, and then bake it. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Okay. But I'm not a huge hot dog fan. And like, you know, I know you're supposed to love them when you go to a baseball game and stuff like that. I was at the Jays game a little while ago for like, it was like Looney Hot Dog Day, and it was like 80,000 hot dogs.
So many.
I was like, what's wrong with us? I was just like, okay, I got to do it. Eating hot dogs. You're at a game. You're having beer. I'm just like, I'm still like halfway through one. I'm like, I don't like this.
That is fair. Now, while Matt was doing the facts off the top, you're making a face about the Italian sausage.
I don't know. It's funny. We call like, you're talking about, is a hot dog a sandwich? Is it not? Like, is a sausage on a bun a sandwich? Like, do we, like when we say that, we call it, like, it's funny. We'll say sausage on a bun. We won't say like we won't say a hot dog on a bun. We'll just say hot dog. Like, I don't know. I like sausage. Grill me a sausage, put it on a bun, put some mustard on it. I'll eat that and happily. Yeah. And that's okay. It's hot dogs. I just don't. My girls like hot dogs. I still go.
I have a quick question for you. So first of all, have you ever had an LA dog?
No. Okay. Is it like pompous? What is it?
It's not pompous. It's just, the reason why I don't like them is that they're so busy. Like, I'm a minimalist and I don't like hot dogs either. But this is my question for an Italian, because I am Italian by marriage. And my mother-in-law makes the best sausage and peppers on earth.
Yeah.
She'll make the sausage and peppers. She'll get the rolls for us to put the sausage and peppers in. My husband does not like peppers, so he pulls the peppers out. We'll still have it in the roll. Yeah. I don't like the roll. I think it's wrong. So I eat the sausage and peppers on the side, and that's how I do it. And I eat the roll with butter afterwards. And I think it's wrong to put sausage and peppers in a roll. I will never think it's a sandwich. So I wanted to know what your thought on is. So you're fine doing that? Yes.
Well, Mary, first of all, let's go back a second. You have a pattern here of not eating things that come in buns, because you are against them. Like, I heard the bow incident with the chicken. You're like, nah, this can't work. I just think you need the right vessel.
Okay.
Right? Maybe the bun. Like, what kind of, when your mother-in-law puts it in a bun, is it like a crusty panino? Like, is it a roll? What is it?
Because my husband wants this. No offense to my mother-in-law. I love her. She's half the reason why I went to Scotland. She helped me. But it's a stupid white bun that you get for 99 cents. It's the bad hot dog buns that you never want to buy.
You are 100% right in not wanting to eat it. Because if you do like a classic spacatella, like a crusty bun that you get at an Italian bakery, you slice that open, you put the sausage and the peppers in there, you'd smash it. That's what you would do. You'd be very happy.
Next time, bring your own bun.
Bring your own bun next time. That's right. In your purse. You just slice it open. Old Italian lady. That's a very old Italian lady. I think you would get some respect for that.
That's fair. All righty, John. We have 5.5 questions for you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Okay, let's go.
Question one. What is the best sandwich?
Ooh.
You've had a lot of sandwiches over your journey.
I was thinking about it when you – oh, man. Can it be more than one? Can I explain myself?
Yeah.
I don't have to. One of when you were talking, Matt, earlier about we're eating and we're emotions and feelings and stuff like that. We're always eating our feelings. It's not just when you're feeling bad.
Yeah.
Like, we're always eating our feelings. We're happiness. We want something. We're sad. We want something. but also what we're eating reminds us of something else. Like it's mm-hmm. like I find yes. food super nostalgic. I find that sort of I find the essence of sharing food, of making food, of eating food, like that's time travel for me, because you can instantly taste something and be like transported back in time to your mom's kitchen or your grandmother's kitchen or wherever. So one of the first things my mom, I remember making for me and also teaching me how to make myself is like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking like white bread, sliced white bread, margarine when we were growing up, butter and Kraft singles.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want fancy cheddar cheese aged. I want plasticky cheese that's kind of sweet, and I want a buttery toasted bread, and I want that cheese pull that happens. Like that for me, even still to this day, makes me feel like a child. It makes me feel like a kid. So like that. Like that emotional connection to food is always in my world. But if I were gonna make like a perfect sandwich for myself, I'd be making and I've done this a couple of times this summer, is I'll make some focaccia, right? So this is like you're making like you've got some, it's time, right? Like this is a sandwich that's taking the entire day to make. You're making focaccia, you baked it so it's oily and crispy and all the good things, and then you've got prosciutto, you've got sliced tomatoes, you've got fresh mozzarella or bocconcini or whatever you can find. And that is perfection.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And if I know some people are like, I don't like tomatoes, you're wrong. There's something wrong with you. You never add a fresh tomato off of vine. I've got my tomatoes. My tomato plants are still giving me some delicious fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It is just incredible. That bite, I love that. I love, and Mary, you would eat that bread. Don't even throw that the shade.
Oh, no, I will. No, I'm with you. I'm on board.
That sounds so good.
It does sound good. It's so
good, man. And the focaccia the next day.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It just becomes even more oily.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so I love making fried eggs and then just using that to dip into my eggs. I already know that when I've made that focaccia sandwich and I look over and there's still a half of focaccia left, I'm like, I'm eating you tomorrow morning. That's what's happening. I'm already telling that focaccia that that's what's happening.
In the chat, John, just put us your address. We'll be there.
I'll just leave fresh focaccia on my porch.
That'd be great.
When it comes to tomatoes, a lot of people just think the crappy tomatoes you get in like Loblaws or whatever is what it's like. No, fresh from the garden.
You gotta grow your own.
It's really sad because the tomatoes that you get off season are like grown purposely. Like they've been there's some chemical stuff happening there for sure. They've been bred so their skin is tough so they can like. So they don't bruise easily when they're like being mechanically taken off the vine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You take them off earlier and they ripen like in a somewhere else with chemicals and stuff like that. So you never get those tomatoes, you can slice them. They just taste like absolute nothing.
Yeah.
But then you get a tomato off the vine like right now or just actually a little too – like it's in the later in the season. But, oh, my God, it's so delicious. It's so good.
Or some of the heirloom – sort of seeds out there with like the no longer really grown commercially or anything. So good.
So great. And there's like, again, reminding of childhood, like eating cherry tomatoes, just popping in your mouth, just feeling that pop of flavor that happens.
Yeah.
Like I got these, I think they're called bumblebee cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, okay.
A really nice color on them. And again, like that's like truly eating sunshine when you pop a fresh cherry tomato that you've just picked off the vine that's still warm from the sun.
Yeah.
I
live right near a really lovely Italian market, And yeah. I went the other day to get some things, and outside the market were these beautiful baskets of all the Roma tomatoes, because maybe it's sauce making time.
Oh, it definitely is sauce making time.
There's like not, I didn't buy them, but like you look at every basket and they're all beautiful and the color. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to taste the sauce that's going to come from these tomatoes. I'm like, oh my God.
I spent all day Saturday, this past Saturday, making tomatoes with my neighbors.
So
we got 10 bushels.
Oh my gosh.
And and so it was an all day thing. I'm still tired from it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm still feeling it, man. But we did 10 bushels, and that gave us a total of 180 jars of tomato sauce.
Wow.
We split evenly between the two of us. Our family, each family. So yeah, it's just, I'm very happy. Hold on. I know this is radio, but hold on a second. I just
going to
show you.
Sean is going to find something, and I wonder if he's going to show us what he created on the weekend.
This is like,
it's
kind of hard, but it's like,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. So 80 of these are living in my cantina right now.
I'm so jealous. Oh my gosh. That looks awesome.
So with a focaccia on my front porch, we enjoy our tomato sauce.
Our next question is a little bit of a out of left field kind of question. Yes. Would you eat a pineapple and mayo sandwich, which is a sandwich that Kelly found on the internet? I believe it's from the South.
Yeah.
I mean, I like mayo. I like bread. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, I don't know, man. I like pineapple, I guess. I like pineapple on pizza. I know that's wrong. Yeah, I know that a lot of people will say, get out of here. But I'm into it.
I like it.
I don't know. I'm going to have to. Tomato and mayonnaise on a sandwich is very delicious as well. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Kelly, have you had this? Did you try it yet?
No, but for listeners who go to our Instagram page, the Order Up Instagram page, Matt and I are going to be posting a video of us eating a sandwich made out of those things after this interview. So after you listen to John's episode, go to the gram.
Okay.
Each individual ingredient, they sound good, and they're all things I like, but like egg, like that's because that's what mayonnaise is. It's just whipped up egg.
So is the pineapple, is anything done to like the round of the pineapple at all?
No, it's just chopping it up for a slicer.
Yeah. Was that done on a dare? Was that a dare sandwich?
No, it's from a Bon Appetit article that I read, and I think the recipe maker either just had those ingredients in the kitchen and one night just whipped them up, or I'm not sure.
Now, if it's a chef and they created that at a restaurant, they were most likely stoned. and they're like, yeah, let's eat.
All right. So our next question, true or false, Toronto's Winter Garden Theater had its walls cleaned using raw bread dough during its reopening?
I'm trying to remember the theater. Like there are some like ornate-y kind of like stuff on the wall,
like
right?
It's an English garden on the inside.
Okay, so I'm going to say definitely yes. Because I guess they were going to try to get in between the things, right? If there's dust and stuff and they want to get it. Have you seen that snotty kind of stuff that you can use
in
your car?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say yes to that. Am I correct?
You are correct, John. You are correct.
Yay. Yep. Yay. You want a jar of sauce.
Oh my gosh, it's right here. Thank you. I just wanna thank the Academy for this moment.
to get it right for the right reason too, not just because it's an art restoration technique for getting dust.
Okay.
Before we had car snot.
And they used those 99-cent hot dog buns to clean.
Your mother-in-law is so happy. But it's all still greasy from the sausage and the peppers.
Yeah.
Now we have to clean this oil off of everything.
All right. Well, that brings us to our next true or false. Cool. Subway's most popular sub, the Italian BMT, is named after a literal subway line.
Oh, this is, I mean, it, I had always thought it was, it was named after the meats, but the, I don't think that it was, or yeah. The guy or the person who invented the sandwich. But I'm going to say, yes, it was named after a subway line.
You're correct.
It was named after the Brooklyn Manhattan Transit line. It's one of those old when there was a whole bunch of different companies, and now it's part of the regular MTA. Subway station.
Remember when Subway originally was around, when they first showed up, and they would do that V slice down the bun?
Yes.
And then they would open it up and put the meat in, and then they put that back in. That was old school. I really like that.
That needs to come back.
I wonder if that's like a secret option that you can ask for now. Because that was a big thing, right?
I think we don't get sandwich artists anymore. Now we just get sandwich technicians. So
it's not the same. It's not the same. This is what happens when IT takes over. When IA takes over. AI? IA. Yeah, AI. Delete that whole part. I'm hungry.
So this is the big question.
Okay.
This is
the big one.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Okay. Yes, but it's a shitty sandwich. How's that?
That's great.
If the basic definition of a sandwich is bread and something in between the bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All sandwiches are made the same, and not all sandwiches are great. The only time I ever liked really like eating street meat, like when you're leaving a comedy show really late, is because you're tired and drunk. Sober John doesn't eat that stuff. You know, like it's just never been in my wheelhouse. I just never liked it. But people who are like hot dog connoisseurs love, like, you know, they talk about the snap and they talk about the bite and they talk about the seasoning and talk about all that stuff. I'm just like, it's a tube of meat. And I quote unquote the meat part, like it's a tube of something.
Up in Kensington Market, there's like this fancy hot dog place where it's all these like fancy like meats and stuff. And I'm like, I tried it and I'm like, this isn't any like buffalo and
I'd rather have a sausage on a good bun. Not Mary's mother's bun, but you know,
but it's not hers. She protests. It's my husband, and I cannot believe he's half Italian who wants to get a sale at our grocery store.
Then I apologize to your swatch, and I'm sorry to your mother-in-law that you talk bad about her. It's your husband who's the jerk. He's looking for a deal on shitty bread and pushes it onto his mother. And then the one I'm sorry. He should know better. Has it hurt his teeth to bite into crunchy bread? Is that why he likes the soft stuff?
He's very sensitive. He tells me the sausage is more important than the bread. And I said, au contraire. I know.
I think the bread takes away from how good the sausage is.
Yes, they have to compliment.
It's all you need. We talk about the soup, that perfect bite, right? Of that, of where you get everything, right? The juiciness of the sausage, the spiciness of or the flavor of the sausage that's there, the other condiments that are going on, or the peppers, are they are they grilled? Are they smoky a little bit? Are they under oil? Whatever. When then mm-hmm. you get that bite of the bread that's kind of crunchy and soft all at the same time. Like, you need that. That and who knows? You know what? Maybe it was the bread that made me dislike hot dogs. No. I'll pause. Hold on a sec. No, because I would eat the ketchup sandwiches, so I would still eat the same bread. Yeah. Definitely the hot dogs. Definitely the hot dogs.
I love it. So we do have a bonus question. This one's kind of a one for the ages. Mm. What in the name of creation is in a hot dog?
Now, I don't want to say that I know somebody in like the food space that develops things, you know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not saying that I know people in that world. But if I did know somebody in that world, they might have told me that a lot of the hot dog is skin.
Oh.
Listen, hold on a second. Before Mary, before you lose your mind, we eat chicharrones. We eat like when you get a crispy bacon, side of bacon, you're eating the side, you're eating the skin is there, it gets crispy. Again,
fried chicken.
Crispiness all over it.
Right.
Yeah. That's actually the least concerning thing that I could think would be in it. Exactly.
I mean, listen, I don't know what's – I have no idea. I know that when you're making sausages, you're getting like, you know, pork shoulder or pork – whatever, butt maybe. Not right. Pork butt, but shoulder. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you're grinding up the pork and putting it mm-hmm. in there and stuff like that. If you're making your own hot dogs, you can decide what goes in them, kids. Now with 50% less skin.
Well, and a turkey dog is no turkey. I'm telling you that right now. There's no turkey and a turkey dog.
What's in it then?
Do you know what's in it, or you're just guessing that there's no turkey?
I'm just guessing because it doesn't taste like turkey. It doesn't. A chicken dog doesn't taste like chicken.
Yeah, but a hot dog doesn't taste like pig either. You know what I mean? Like it's not like it's anything. It's whatever. It's whatever.
You put whatever spice profile you put in it, right?
I think mortadella is still. Yeah. Tons of fat. Like I remember watching it get made. Like you guys like mortadella, the amount of fat. And I guess that's why it's so delicious. There's a lot of fat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of butter in a croissant, but I'm still gonna eat it.
So good.
But it's not skin. It's not. You're not eating like one.
Nature's skin.
Can I have a croskin, please? Gross.
Croskin. Oh my god, I would eat a fried. Like you make me a croissant out of chicken skin.
To be honest, if you had a restaurant that just sold nothing but various prepared chicken skins, I'd go there. Like,
I would go there.
The ghost is opening up your door, just so you know. The ghost just opened your door.
The cat
coming in.
John's answer, friend, and the cat is here for the big reveal. The cat is now walking on the table. Does the cat have thoughts?
Orange tabbies are the best.
I don't speak cat. Everybody, order up has deemed. Oh, crap. The hot dog's a sandwich, everybody. Yes, it wins.
Okay.
Boo. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So where Ben Golan is celebrating on his sandwich tour. Team Yes won by 3 votes, everybody.
Okay.
1-3.
Yeah, with some caveats, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there should be an asterisk. Like,
it's sandwich-ish.
First season, we thought it was going to be a clean sweep.
Well, I was like, hardcore no.
Me
I
too.
Swore a lot in this season. And then I changed my mind.
But again, if Is it not just bread, but carbs? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is a taco a sandwich?
We've gone
according
there.
According to Ben Golan, who is a lawyer and a food tour guide.
Yes.
It is.
It's a sandwich. Yeah.
And not just him, according to the U.S. court system.
It's a sandwich. There's been two. One says it is, one says it isn't.
Go ahead, Carrie, you have something, and then I have something.
I just had an idea. You know when you say something is like ish, like it's food-ish, okay? Yeah. So we usually call a sandwich a sandwich, but we're going to call it a sandwich. I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. Right. It's a sandwich.
It's sandwichy.
I'm going to call it a sandwichy, sandwich-ish. Yeah. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to workshop that.
I think we're going to start singing Ubla Di Ubla Da.
A taco is not a sandwich, and I'll tell you why.
Tell us why.
Because there is runaway meat on a taco. Ground beef in itself is movable.
It doesn't stay still.
Mary,
is an open-faced sandwich a sandwich?
No, absolutely. No.
It should be two pieces, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Two pieces of bread.
That's one of the things that pisses me off. It shouldn't piss me off as much as it does, but when I'm in a restaurant and I order, let's say a steak sandwich, steak sandwich on the menu. Yeah. All right. I can't wait. Yeah. Good. And it comes open-faced.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, okay, fucking tell me. Tell me so I'm prepared. I gotta be ready for forking-knifing this sandwich.
I visited my mom recently and went to a diner and I saw a Canadian classic that I haven't seen in many places because there aren't many really good diners around anymore, at least not in Toronto. A hamburger sandwich, which is open-faced burger patty with gravy, potatoes, veggies.
Okay.
That's a hamburger sandwich, and that's only one piece of bread.
I know. People call them open-faced sandwiches. Right? Is it more of a deconstructed sandwich?
Yeah.
Is that what you would call it? But now I want an open-faced turkey sandwich right now. I would smash it.
But where's the other piece of bread? You're losing
sometimes
a piece of
bread. Sometimes they go side by side, right?
Oh,
sometimes
okay.
they'll go side by
I don't
side.
Know.
Other
I
times
know.
It'll just be one piece.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Supper, as we say in Massachusetts. It's supper with a side of bread. That's it. It's not a sandwich. Oh, my God.
Or it's just bread. And
bread.
That's all you need.
My blood pressure has gone through the ceiling.
Oh, my God. John, where can folks find you on socials to follow your food travels?
Go ahead. I jumped on your thing. You go ahead. Start again.
Where can folks find you on socials to follow your food adventures and maybe take you for an open-faced sandwich in quotes?
I'll do that. It's at John Cattucci on Instagram and on Threads and on what's the other one? TikTok, even though I'm still not TikToking. I've got to talk to my daughters about how to properly use that.
They don't want to help them try.
Without them rolling their fucking eyes and going,
they're not interested.
They're not.
I'm trying.
Let me drive you around everywhere.
Yep, everywhere.
that's all it was an Uber driver all summer and bad reviews. Just bad reviews. Like three stars. Just whatever.
Oh, man. Well, friends, we are done with the concept we have started. But going forward, we're going to come back with some special episodes every now and then. We'll maybe get into who was Chef Boyardee. He was actually a pretty great cook. We got lots of things coming, so stay tuned to our Instagram. This has been Order Up.
Order Up is hosted and produced by Matt Ardill,
Mary Kennedy,
Larry Hain,
Kelly Zemeckis.
And original music is by Rebecca McDonald.